The Cabinet has agreed to the plan, which will work through May and June. The government has approved the plan that will allow people to travel across the country from May 10th. On the same day, hairdressers will reopen, along with libraries, museums and galleries, and team sports will begin, training will resume, and up to 50 people will be allowed to attend religious services, including weddings, funerals and masses. However, indoor wedding parties will remain capped at 6 guests and 15 outdoor for outdoor celebrations. And on May 10th as well, 3 households can meet outdoors, including in private gardens, and a vaccinated household can meet an unvaccinated one indoors. I'm joined this morning on the line by Clare TD's Cathal Crowe of Fianna Fáil and Violet Ann Wynn of Sinn Féin. You're both very welcome to this programme this morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Thanks for joining us. We have some news and positivity coming out. Cathal Crowe, if I can start with yourself first. Stephen Donnelly has already said that he's going to remain nervous about the virus in May. You know, is there a concern, while we have all been screaming and shouting for the rooftops for the country to reopen, are we going into this too early, I wonder?
No, I don't believe so. It's important to say at the outset, COVID is still here. It's very prevalent in society. 474 cases yesterday. But crucially, and these are the important metrics, there's now 155 in hospitals, significantly down on what would have been there a few months ago, and 44 in intensive care units, meaning COVID in a hospital environment has become far, far more manageable. In tandem with that, vaccines are on the up, with now 1.5 million vaccines, I should say, having been administered. And we're getting to that point slowly but surely, so that by late June, about 82% of the adult population will be vaccinated, effectively herd immunity. And on that basis, it's only right and proper that society should incrementally reopen and start to function to some normality again. It could be slow, but it's positive. And already, I think there's a pep in the step of people. The weather will help. And look, there's a summer to look forward to now.
We're not rushing into it in any case, Cathal Crowe. Violet Ann Wynn, are we rushing into this? Are we reopening too early?
I think, you know, in fairness, I think everybody is, you know, tired of lockdowns. And for a lot of people, they've been in extreme isolation for the last year or so. And I'm sure for them, it's been nothing short of a nightmare. So, look, life is starting to open up and it can't happen soon enough. People need to get back to work. Businesses need to open. Life needs to resume. And obviously, this needs to be done safely. Things are already moving ahead in the north. The executive successful vaccine program is transforming things, and over 30s are now being vaccinated, and that shows what's possible when things are done right. It's not just about supply. They didn't have Q jump and our GPs left without supplies. They had an efficient, well-run system. So many things as well were put on the back burner over the last year, and we can't afford to lose even one more day. So we need to come out of this crisis with a real ambition to change things for the better, and that means, you know, ambitious plans to build affordable houses, to buy and to rent. It means transforming health to end waiting lists. It means the state doing its job of delivering infrastructure and services, not leaving things to the private sector, which has, you know, completely failed ordinary people. And it means ending preferential treatment for insiders and vested interests. Look, the worst thing that could happen is that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are allowed to reset the clock to last February and pick up where they left off. I think, you know, it's very worrying for businesses and workers as well, with, you know, the talks of troika-style spending controls resulting in workers and families continuing to be negatively impacted by the pandemic for years to come.
Well, the Taoiseach has promised, Violet Ann Wynn, that as once businesses reopen, that they will not have to close again. Cathal Crowe, your reaction to that there's a fear that we'll go back to what happened last year.
Well, I just heard the private sector.
But Anwyn is laying the blame squarely on Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael here.
She just slammed the private sector, and they're the very businesses in our county who've been shut for months and looking to reopen. So, look, the bottom line here is that there will be no cliff edge. Businesses have had their doors shut. People are on PUP unemployment payments, EWSS. So many families struggling. People wanting to get mortgages, move on with their lives. Kids having their education disrupted. We're now seeing an unlocking of this, a return to things. And I'm glad to see actually one of the sectors that has hugely been brunted here has been the hairdressers, barbers, salons. They're one of the first to reopen. Construction will reopen as well next week. And we're slowly getting to that point. And one thing I'm really keen on, given my spokesperson role, is to see a pathway forward now at last for tourism, hospitality, and there's also a plan beyond June hopefully for international air travel to resume as well. All key aspects of where our regional economy and national economy needs to get to. This will be a good recovery.
There is a lot of optimism, no doubt about that, but things can go pear-shaped, Cathal Crowe. Is there a backup plan? Is there an emergency break if it does go pear-shaped?
Yeah, and there has to be, and I think that's been made very clear.
Is there, though? Is there? What is the plan?
There is. I mean, the plan is that certainly everything in June is certainly contingent. June is when we'll see hotels, B&Bs, potentially pubs, restaurants, gyms, swimming pools. That's more or less the June plan. International air travel, and that is all contingent. This has been mentioned because there'll be people here. This has been a divisive issue. COVID has. There'll be people at home in their kitchens jumping to hear these things reopening, and others are fearful of it. So there's a very delicate balance to be struck, and we've heard time and time again from both NPHET and our Minister for Health that, you know, if the COVID situation deteriorates, if new strains of COVID come in aggressively and spread throughout the country, or if the hospital situation deteriorates as it did back in late December, January, well, then this gets wound back a bit. But right now, we're on a positive trajectory. And what every sector demanded over the last few weeks, and I think what this plan responds to, was the need for lead-in periods, being able to plan, being able to look ahead. And this is what this platform sets out.
What about the, Violet Ann Wynne, if I can ask you on the financial supports? We spoke to your Oireachtas colleague from County Clare, independent TD Michael McNamara, on the programme yesterday. He was saying that because of the massive bill this country is going to face over the social welfare payments made during the COVID, that the PUP supports should come to an end sooner rather than later. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I did hear that the minister has made it clear his intention to cut the pandemic unemployment payment by the beginning of July, despite the fact that tens of thousands of people will remain unemployed. And, you know, this is the very same minister who signed off on yearly bumper payments of over 17,000 for super junior ministers and a pay increase of more than 80,000 for a secretary general. That wasn't
who turned it down.
Yes,
did not turn it down?
You know, they had every intention of going ahead with that payment, and I think that's not lost on the public. They are seeing that, and I just think, you know, that kind of decision to be talking about cutting this vital pandemic unemployment payment at this time is just disturbing. I think it's adding to stress levels for lots of people, workers, and particularly families who have seen, you know, huge changes to their financial situation over the last year, they've even gone further. They've talked about FICA style spending controls across departments, including the Department of Health. I mean, you know, this is after we've seen a decade of underinvestment and mismanagement under Fine Gael, which left our health service understaffed and under-resourced when this pandemic first struck. Even after the pandemic, our hospitals will face the same pressures as they did before. And the worst thing that could happen now is that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are allowed to reset the clock, as I had said, and pick up where they left off. It's time to look for the future, not to relapse into austerity. The so-called recoveries of the past were actually really for banks. They were for corporate landlords and about ring fence and wealth. This time has to be different. We need a fair recovery and a recovery for all that leaves nobody behind.
Okay, Cathal Crowe, there would, of course, just on that before I move on, in relation to the PUP being stopped or reduced sooner rather than later, where do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, just Northern Ireland, as you mentioned, bizarrely a few times, we're on County Clare radio this morning, but since Northern Ireland has been mentioned, the people there on the equivalent of PUP payments and COVID payments have been far worse off under a Sinn Féin administration. So we'll put that on record. Look, the bottom line here is that there is no cliff edge. People have been, you know, it hasn't been ideal from anyone, and no one has said that from the get-go. But businesses have been supported through EWSS, employees have been supported through PUP payments. There will be no cliff edge. And what I'm working on, I suppose, and several of us in government are working on, are sector-specific supports. Some sectors will see an immediate bounce back. We've been hearing on the radio how some stores in other countries have had queues of people trying to get back. Retail may recover quickly. It won't be the same for hospitality. It won't be the same for aviation. We will need sector-specific supports. So EWSS and PUP will most likely need to be overhauled so that it's the sectors that will have continued struggling to get back to recovery.
So overhauled and not cut. It should stay in place, you believe, in some form.
It's to get people back to a recovery point. It's not all about just, you know, COVID has you shut. there has to be a recovery point here as well. It's about supporting to that point. And that's been made very clear by the Taoiseach. But some sectors will have an immediate bounce back when they open their doors, you know, and they'll have a boom.
But in relation to people who are out of work,
they have to be recalibrated, Pat, to support those struggling most.
But people who are out of work and could very well be out of work for a long, long time and might have no prospect of picking up a job. What about the pub? How long should that last? At what point should it be cut?
I think it has to be contingent on how each sector is opening and reopening, and for some and benchmarked against recovery points as well. But it won't go on forever, and that, I think, that has been well flagged. But it has been rolled out on a rolling basis. So every 3 or 4 months there's been extensions in line with where the economy has been at. And the Taoiseach has indicated, as have several government ministers, that there will be no cliff edge. So somebody's listening here this morning, pressing that a payment they've been reliant on will suddenly be dropped. No, that isn't the case.
Well, the uncertainty, though, Cathal, is there because, you know, everyone's talking about the massive financial debt this country is going to incur or has incurred, talking about some departments being told to cut their budgets by 4 billion or their spending by 4 billion. It's instilling nothing but fear and uncertainty in the public.
Well, the biggest outlay at the moment has been the social welfare budget has been absolutely colossal in tandem with health. The social welfare budget, you know, that kind of budgetary spending is during a pandemic, during a time of crisis. It's not sustainable long-term and long-term again. And that point has been made repeatedly. It's under review. And we have an economy about to reopen. And the two have to be judged as to how they're going. Some sectors, as I said, Pat, will need it and others won't.
Yes.
And we're in that space yet without that certainty. And I don't think it would be fair the morning after yesterday's announcements to be, you know, having a sword out saying this is going to be chopped and this won't. We're not at that point yet. But certainly, as the COVID situation proves, the economy reopens, we're not going to have COVID-related payments going on indefinitely, but they do need to be sector-specific to the point of recovery.
Okay. In relation then, and continuing on the vein of the large debt that this country will suffer for probably maybe even generations to come, and the talk of Troika-style tax cuts and all of that, we don't want to see that. Everyone has this awful memory of the Troika marching into government building in Dublin. We don't want to go back to those days where we're going to have to make massive, massive cuts and instill further fear in the public.
No, austerity doesn't work. It deflates the economy. And actually what we've seen over the past 14 months is an entirely different direction. And most European countries operate a similar model where you support businesses, you allow them to stay open, you front load capital projects, huge money committed to County Clare over the last year, whether it's been the North Distributor Road or 70 million for the Lough Derg region or 4 million for Ennis, huge money committed to County Clare. And all of this is to stimulate things, to ensure that the supply chains in Clare, from construction right across to all other industries, that there's a pathway forward. That has happened in every other county around Ireland. Rather than deflating the economy, inject it, give it an adrenaline shot, that has been the modus operandi. And there is no troika coming back to Ireland. We may be cutting back on COVID-related social welfare payments. And I stress COVID-related because we're on a pathway slowly but surely out of COVID. But again, I particularly for people who might be working in hospitality or aviation, there will be some sectors that that will need more prolonged support, and I think we need to recalibrate it in that fashion so that you know, it won't be a level playing
field. Okay.
Some are going to see boom for another few weeks, and that won't be achievable for some for another while yet.
Okay, we've a bit of an issue with your own phone line there, Cathal. We'll just fade you down there for a small bit and go on to Violet and Wynne and talk about maybe international travel, although the issue seems to be on both phone lines. We'll do our best to get through this in any case. International travel, Violet and Wynne, how hopeful are you that that will resume, and should it resume this summer?
Well, I'd be very hopeful, I suppose, for the connectivity to be secured, especially for Shannon Airport. It's vital for the region. It's also vital for the workers themselves. And, I mean, they've gone through now such a hard and difficult year filled with uncertainty and just with so much stress, really. I think the news of a digital certificate for international travel will be welcomed by many, and it does signal a return to some level of normality, although, you know, we must take a cautious approach to ensure its success. It's not a silver bullet, but it's purely a system to enable a careful reopening of travel in the EU. So we must continue to work together following the public health advice to keep each other safe. Our governments must play their part by putting in place robust systems for testing and tracing. You know, they've never achieved the targets from the beginning when it came to testing and tracing, especially in recruitment, and also around quarantining and building health system capacity. You know, the digital certificate is to enable a return to international travel. While we have voted for this in the EU, it does pave a way for safe and coordinated return to travel between countries. Nothing more and nothing less.
What about the digital green passport or the COVID-19 certificate that some MEPs want to call it? Are you in favour of that, first of all, Violet Anwyn?
Well, I know that our MEP, Chris McManus, you know, voted in support of it, as we were saying earlier on. You know, we're taking a cautious approach to the digital certificate. We do see it as a way of enabling a careful reopening of travel in the EU, you know, and allowing maybe, you know, countries with the same levels of vaccination, for example, and maybe with the same levels of case numbers, you know, to travel from one to the other. And to, I suppose, look at more essential travel and compassionate grounds, really, in relation to that. But I suppose we have voted in support of it, and we do want to see.
But you didn't speak on the 3rd of April. You opposed a vote actually to speed this up, because an EU regulation can typically take a year or two, and it was agreed across the European bloc. All political parties were supporting fast tracking this. But on April the 3rd, when there was a vote to fast-track it, it was opposed by Sinn Féin. So just to put that out there. But I'm glad you did support the vote this week. It's the pathway back.
Is there pressure being put on Ireland to go along with this particular proposal? It's too early for us.
Of course there's pressure, and pressure isn't always a bad thing. We stand to lose the most here, Pat, by not implementing this. We're geographically peripheral with the edge of Europe, and Shannon Airport is the most westerly European airport in the European bloc. And for that reason, I brought it up this week, both with the Taoiseach and Stephen Donnelly, to ask. The important thing here is that there's a lead-in period, and the minute this gets the green light and is fully ratified by all countries, are we ready to roll? The answer I got back from both Taoiseach and Mr. Donnelly is yes. And that's very important, and that gives the ray of hope that we've long been looking for in aviation. It means that pilots, cabin crew and all the ground staff can look forward to resumption of flights. We have Ryanair already committed and announcing only just recently a new route to Corfu. We need the same commitment from Aer Lingus, but we need, as an Irish nation, to be able to begin immediately. And the Taoiseach just this morning has announced that there's a unit within his department and the Department of Health already working on software. So very shortly, we will, I imagine, be able to present ourselves at airport departure desks with our phone, with a digital cert on it, either verifying that you've been vaccinated, you've recovered from COVID, or you're PCR negative. And that's crucial.
Okay.
It'll allow people to come into Ireland as well. It gives buoyancy to places like Bunratty, which opens today again. You know, it'll bring tourists back into our country. It gives great hope.
Hopefully it will. And very finally, before we leave it, because time, of course, is going against us. We heard Charlie O'Mara on our news bulletin area earlier, and he was talking about the way that there is an issue with outdoor dining, that some pubs and others may not be able to provide that facility. Plans should have been put in place long before this to ensure that these facilities could be made available. It's all happening pretty quick now for the sector, and while they want to get open, it would sound like many still won't be able to open because they can't facilitate people outside. What should the government be doing to ensure that this is an easier transition for those businesses, Cathal Crowe?
So I suppose, first of all, announced last night in line with the reopening plan was an announcement that the COVID CRSS support for closed businesses, that'll be doubled over a 2-week period. There needs to be more done as well. I think we've seen the outdoor dining grants, you know, being really welcomed with open arms by restaurants and hotels and local authorities. But we need as well pubs to be given a second funding stream to allow them to put appropriate seating outside. For some pubs, they'll be able to have larger crowds and less so for others, but they all need to be given that capacity financially to be able to reopen and in a good way. There's other policy areas as well being looked at in terms of government, because pubs have been effectively closed since St. Patrick's Day in some parts of the country, and they only got to open for a very short period in other parts, we will not be, we can't continue to differentiate between, I think, gastro and wet pubs. They're all opening or they're not.
Okay, a lot of confusion, still uncertainty in relation to some aspects of the reopening plan. Thank you both for your time this morning. We appreciate it. I was joined there by Cathal Crowe of Fianna Fáil and Violet Ann Wynne of Sinn Féin. Thank you both for your time this morning. As we've heard already, Cabinet has agreed a reopening plan for the country throughout May and June. From May 10th, hairdressers will be allowed open, reopen, while a week later all shops will be able to open their doors once again. I'm joined on the line this morning by Bridget Harran of Bridget Harran Hair and Beauty, and hopefully we'll have Patrick Burke very shortly. Bridget, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good to talk to you. Some positivity, some good news coming out yesterday. Will you have enough time to get prepared to reopen, Bridget?
Well, first of all, we're delighted to get an official opening date, and it was sooner than we expected as well. I think it's going to give people a lot more of a chance to get ready. Like, there's a lot of clickbait saying we'll be open on the 4th, which is impossible because of the bank holiday weekend. And, you know, for people getting in their stock and deliveries and everything, like, deliveries are taking up to 5 days in some cases. So that would have been a bit of a nightmare for everybody. But now that it's the 10th, we have a lot more time now to book in our clients and to do our patch testing and to get our orders in. So, yeah, like, we're nearly ready. We're just trying to get everybody contacted now. And we had a waiting list open, and we're going to look after our clients first that were booked in from January till the 30th of April. We're pretty much ready, but I suppose the health and safety is the utmost priority for us, for our teams and for our guests coming in.
You were well prepared on that front from day one anyway, weren't you, in fairness?
We were.
Yeah.
Like, there were 7 cases that were traced back to the hair and beauty industry. And while some people might say that's too much, it was actually a very low number, and it was something that the industry was pushing hard for, because we had gone above and beyond putting in protocols and health and safety measures within the salon. And to be honest with you, every salon is very good on their health and safety anyway. It would be a very safe environment to come into.
What about supports then, supports that would help the sector reopen, your sector in particular? Are enough supports there? Will you need more supports?
Well, as it stands at the moment, there is only the CRSS for the employers, and it's not an awful lot. In the beginning, there was a restart grant, and then there was a restart plus grant, which was 30% of your rates. And while those did help, it went towards people, say, maybe adjusting their salons and putting in prospect screens, buying in PPE. So it was a little bit of a help, but now going forward, we have pushed for the industry to have more supports put in place. But as it stands, there isn't an awful lot coming down the line for us. So it's really like you have to kind of get the economy up and going again. And we can only do that by opening our doors and trying to, you know, accommodate people and get people in. There isn't an awful lot out there for supports for the industry.
And what about funding to help to take on apprentices? Were there issues with that, or is that funding still available?
So that funding is available as it stands till June 2021 at the moment. So they've backdated it as well to March 2020. So at the moment, if you apply a new apprentice, you'll get a €3,000 grant. So you get €2,000 in the beginning and their first year, and then you get €1,000 when they finish, which is a 3-year apprenticeship. So that will really help bring young and new people into the industry. It's still not an awful lot, employers are saying, but it is a good incentive for employers to actually take on apprentices. I had an apprentice meeting the other day, and it was going from 2021 to 2025, so they are introducing new grants for people taking on new apprentices.
Very good. I'm joined on the line as well by Patrick Burke of Patrick Burke's Menswear, Enders and Kinross. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Bridget was just saying there as well that this has come earlier than expected. Will you be ready? And are you ready to rock and roll and reopen, Patrick?
I'm Patrick. We're ready to open today. In the sense that I've been watching it closely, and to our organisations there now, like Retail Excellence, and that we, they had given us kind of hints that, that it would be sometime in mid-May, and that we'd get the click and collect maybe a week or so before. So I've been preparing for the last 3 weeks, sorting out the winter stock and getting in the new summer stock and things like that, and re-merchandising the shop. So we're literally as good as ready, Pat. We are, and looking forward to it.
Is it a bit of a waste of time having the click and collect a week before a full reopening when you could probably, as you say, reopen today anyway? Or is it a sort of a litmus test for how the full reopening will go?
It's probably a litmus test. And you see, they're opening, you know, bridges and doors earlier this time than they did last year. So the hairdressers, the beauticians and all that are getting enforced. Rather than full retail this time round. It's a bit of a nuisance to have it that way, but look at what it is, what it is. We just have to live with it now, and you know, get the doors open and get the economy back to normal as quickly as possible. I know in our trade, and that until they get the religious functions up and running again, we'll say like weddings, communions, this type of thing, which would normally be the staple of our trade at this time of the year, until they get going, you know, we don't expect, we'll be busy, but we don't be expect to be manic until the likes of that type of thing comes back to us, Pat, you know?
Well, people are probably going to be extra cautious themselves. They don't want to go back into a situation where they can't get out and about, and I think a lot of people will probably be very, very wary going out and about for some time yet. Just on the other issue I raised with Bridget, on the support for businesses, are you concerned that fees will disappear after reopening has taken place? How long do fees need to stay in place to ensure, that you can operate?
Yes. Yeah. Until the economy, you know, shows a decent sign of recovery, Pat, I would think that they'll need to be undergoing until this time next year, really, because it will take that length of time for the economy to fully open up and get up and running again. Definitely another 12 months would be where I would see that one.
Bridget, if I can come back to yourself again, what's the issue with patch tests? And obviously, this isn't the ideal situation when you have a backlog already. What's the problem there from your perspective?
So, with skin testing, we would always have done skin patch testing on our clients. What's happened now is that the companies, the colour companies and the insurance companies have changed what they were actually standing by before on the patch testing. And everybody's is different, obviously. Every company is different. The manufacturer guidelines are different. So what's happening is you have to be patch tested. We've been closed nearly now for 4 months, and you need to have a skin test. What we're looking at in England as well and across the world is that people who have the vaccine or people who have had COVID are having reactions now to things like colour, and you need to actually make sure that you have an actual skin test done. So I see like lots of it across the industry where people would never have skin tested before are now skin testing because they realise that it is something that is going to affect people. So you have to make sure that you have it covered.
So it's another precaution that has to be taken, presumably. Yeah. Are you also concerned, Bridget, about, and we had this issue during the first and second lockdowns, black market hairdressers. Is this an issue, and will this threaten, do you believe, the survival of those as they're reopening the sector?
So I suppose I want to try and look at it on a positive. There's 27,000 registered employees going back to work on the 10th of May across the industry. Yes, there has been salons that have closed, and there has been employees that have been let go, but there is loads of people out there looking for staff at the moment. And across the whole industry, across the whole world, this is happening. And like the black market, really, it's always been there, but I suppose now it's really evident in like people cannot get people to work, and it really has affected the economy. And like, if you think about it, we have salons, so we actually employ people. We pay our USC, our PRSI. We contribute to the economy by paying the rates, by paying rents. You know, we're keeping the town open. And like everywhere now in Ireland is really facing this thing of, you know, they can't get people to work. They can't get people to go back into the salons. And it's a really big disappointment for the industry to say that the black market was thriving during the lockdown, when realistically everybody who had salons and that were doing everything by the book and keeping their staff safe, keeping their clients safe by not doing any of colouring or cutting or anything like that. And it's now that it's really going to come evident when we go back into the workplace that people can't get the staff.
Okay.
That the clients maybe might not want to come back into the salon because they're having it done for cheaper at home. And then you have people that were working and that they just don't want to go back in to work.
Okay.
Because they're maybe claiming their pop payments.
So still other concerns that that will affect the sector going forward. Hopefully not too seriously. We'll have to leave it there, unfortunately. Thank you both for your time this morning. Bridget Harran of Bridget Harran Hair and Beauty, and Patrick Burke of Patrick Burke's Menswear, Ennis and Kilrush. Thank you both.